Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada News Magazine on the broadcast today, coming to you from the Ahern Hotel. Sig Rogich joins us. He's the president of Rogich Communications, here for the whole show, talking about politics on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Welcome to the Winnemucca Big R.
Hi, I'm John Walker. Welcome to Big R Lovelock.
Hi, I'm Rich Martin. Welcome to Fallon Big R.
My name is Braden. Welcome to Big R Fernley.
Hi, I'm Kelly. Welcome to Big R Sparks.
Hit the open road with a truckload of cash free play in one of three luxury travel trailers during the $250,000 travel time giveaways. Thousands in weekly giveaways plus $7,500 in grand prizes guaranteed. And a new travel trailer or $35,000. Now at the Carson Valley Inn.
For 50 years, Nevada Heating has been keeping people comfortable in their homes. At Nevada Heating, call the Do It Right guys and get the air conditioning back on today. That's the Nevada Heating way. Why sweat for days on end when Nevada Heating can get your air conditioning fixed today? Call us today and we'll fix it today at 323-5585 or schedule us on our website at nevadaheating.com.
Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
Story County is leading Nevada. Home of the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, Google, Tesla, Panasonic, and other world-leading companies. Story County provides thousands of tech, advanced manufacturing, and logistics careers for Nevadans. We're diversifying and driving Nevada's economy and generating millions in tax revenue and billions in economic activity across northern Nevada. Story County is leading Nevada's future.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from the Ahern Hotel, I am delighted once again, so pleased to be able to welcome Sig Rogich, president of Rogich Communications, back to the program. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Sam. It's always good to be with you. We've done these a few times, but I never get tired of them.
Thank you. Let's start out with poll numbers. In the last week, we've seen poll numbers released by credible sources saying that Trump leads in Nevada by 12 or 13 points. How much stock do you put into that?
He might today. Because I don't think people focus on the campaign, especially presidential, until about September when it really gets into the nitty-gritty. I don't think he'll win the state by 12 or 13. That would be historical in itself. But if he wins by 6 or 8, by today's definition, that's a landslide. That'll have a big effect on the down ticket across the state. So it could have some historical moments to it if he's that successful.
Do you compare it potentially to 2014?
I haven't, but I guess you could, you know. But I think that, you know, it's hard to measure some of what's going on because it's so surreal, you know, a trial for the President of the United States, all the press he's gathering because of it, you know, hush money, scandalous thing, and it seems like his numbers go up all the time. And then he had a rally in New Jersey with 100,000 people. You know, New Jersey is not a very friendly Republican place.
Right, right.
So that was historical, too. He's got something to say, and he also happens to be running against Joe Biden, who doesn't have a lot to say these days.
Do you think that the appeal initially, and to an extent even now, of Donald Trump is that he was perceived as this figure from television who was the great negotiator on this reality show, a tough guy, he wasn't a politician, he was a businessman, and a lot of people in the public are very unhappy with politicians that say one thing and then when they get elected they do something completely different. And for a lot of people, he represented that breath of fresh air. Do you think I'm right about that?
I think you are partially right, for sure. He did some good things as president, you know. He's kind of like a bull in a china shop sometimes, and so you kind of look back and think, wow, you know, this the president just said this. I think it's a combination of a lot of things, and I think a lot of it has to do with what's going on in Europe now that people think might not have gotten to this level if Trump was president. What's going on in the Ukraine now, people think, why are we in these horrible situations here all around the world? You know, there's so many problems going on in the world today, it's hard to keep a finger on any one of them at any particular time. So I think people look for Donald Trump to give a reprieve, a breath of fresh air to America. And I think that comes across pretty well when you compare what's going on in the Biden administration.
So I've talked to a lot of women of a certain age who look at these situations with Trump and these women and say, back in the day, we were treated with a lack of respect. In so many ways, these things were common. They just weren't necessarily talked about. And they disregard this as a political issue. They just regard it as a fact of life in the 60s and the 70s.
You know, Sam, I think we are inoculated to this stuff today. First of all, pornography is so prevalent. So this is kind of old hat stuff. You know,
It's corporate. Every major hotel chain has adult movies in their hotel rooms.
They do. And you drive in the billboards and they've got a little sex thread through them, you know, messaging-wise. So I don't think it's that big a deal. You hate to see it because, you know, it's our former president of the United States. And I still have a great love for the office of the presidency and the sense of decorum that comes with it. You could not have imagined this to be the case, you know, with the Ronald Reagan or George Bush, you know, or Nixon, for example. I mentioned those three because they come to mind. But it's been around, we know that, and we know it was reasonably prevalent with Kennedy, although I think he was a heck of a president. Certainly wasn't with Jimmy Carter.
Right.
You know, I give him
a lot.
Well,
he lusted in his heart.
He did make that comment, yes. That and the killer rabbit.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
And he had Brother Billy.
He had Brother Billy, you know, as an anchor around his neck for a while, and Billy Beer, you know, we all remember those days.
Right.
But it's a different world now. It's instant communication. There's no moment and pause to reflect, which I say all the time. People are on to the next subject matter, and the graphics that are prevalent are very graphic. And so you look at the film footage that comes out of Israel now, and you look at what's happening in the Ukraine. And then you take it further, you know, in other parts of the world, you know, that we're not necessarily involved in per se, but what's going on in parts of India, Malaysia, Cambodia, it's just endless.
So that brings us to the media. The media has an attention span of a sparrow. And so whatever is the biggest story today is gone potentially within 2 to 3 days. We hear about the giant fire going across Canada.
Yes.
But we never hear about how the fire got put out. We hear the same stories in Australia. The media doesn't tell the end of the story. And that leaves people only seeing the most sensational things, but not the reality.
I hadn't thought of it in that context, but you verbalized it quite well. There's a real bias in the media today, and the media this election cycle is important for the media to regain its credibility in many cases. I read the New York Times every day, and the Wall Street Journal, and the local newspaper, and more, Bloomberg on down. I'm just addicted to it all.
You and I both.
But there is a bias. You know, I kid some of my friends who are reporters for the New York Times, and I have a friend, Maureen Dowd. She's a reporter, a columnist, and a well-renowned, terrific writer.
Yes.
And the stuff she writes about Trump is, you know, horrific. He deserves a lot of it probably because of certain things, but that's the subject matter, you know, and I don't see anything positive ever coming out of the New York Times for Donald Trump these days. And yet the paper is sensational, really. If you want to read a long piece, thorough, well-researched, and well-written, you're not going to find it much better than that.
But you know what? I go back 40-plus years with the New York Times. And that was really my university. And when I first started reading that newspaper, I couldn't tell within the stories what the editorial position was. And it wasn't until they nominated Walter Mondale to be president that I realized that they were the Eastern Jewish liberal press that I'd been hearing
That's
about.
That's redundant.
Right. but my point is that the content of the paper did not contain the bias. Today, you have to vet every story.
You do.
To see, because there is, you know, I mean, Peter Baker, who's their chief White House correspondent, he's on every liberal program there could be. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being conservative or liberal. I'm just saying that if you're going to be on every liberal show, it's going to taint you.
Well, how about the fact that a conservative op-ed piece that appeared in the Times caused a guy to lose his job? Why? Because he took a column from a Republican senator as a balance piece, and that wasn't good enough. They fired him, you know. Or how about the NPR?
I was going to say the NPR guy.
You know, the NPR guy
producer.
Who pointed out that they're so biased in there that he had to say something. And he's a liberal, but he's a journalist first and a liberal second, you know, if that makes sense. And they fired him. So, or he quit, I can't remember which, or maybe it's a combination of the both.
Yes, well, either way, he's gone. But you know what, to me, the essence of a reporter is somebody who I can't tell what their political position is. We have in Northern Nevada, the Reno Gazette Journal, Mark Robison,
mm-hmm.
and he is writing about politics. I have no clue. I know him. I don't know him well, but I know him. I cannot tell you whether he's a conservative or a Democrat, and that's the way it should be.
I agree with that. Warren LaRood was my city editor when I was in journalism school at the University of Nevada. And he was tough and gruffy, and then he had the audacity to assign me to the Board of Regents meetings on Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock. I still give him grief about that. But he was a good, good editor, you know, and he took pride in balancing news, and you could go in and argue with him. And I loved him for it, and I love him to this day.
And he won a Pulitzer Prize for editorial writing.
Pulitzer Prize. He went after Joe Conforti, I think. Was that the issue?
You know, off the top of my head, I don't remember, but I just know that he and a group of other editors at the paper won the Pulitzer Prize.
He was terrific. He had to make a tough decision with one of his best friends, who was a reporter, editor later, Bob Brown. And Warren had to make a decision to run the story, and Bob was one of his closest friends. And it was a devastating story, but he did it because it was news. You can't fault him for that, although I think he grieved inside because he had to do it.
So going back to media in general, I just think that the same thing I've been telling people forever is you have to read a variety of sources, even the ones you don't agree with, so that you can find the middle ground, because it is there, but you just have to work a little bit harder to find it.
I agree. Couldn't agree more, and I do.
All right, so let's take a quick break. We'll come back, and we've got some other poll numbers to talk about,
okay.
Other races. We'll be right back after this timeout.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org. Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're talking with Nevada legend, national legend actually, Sig Rogich. He's the president of Rogich Communications. So let's talk about the Jackie Rosen race. Two main candidates on the Republican side, Sam Brown, who lost to Adam Laxalt in the primary for U.S. Senate the last time around, and Steve Gunther, the dermatologist, who is self-funding. What are your thoughts on this race? Because the latest numbers we got were that Jackie Rosen is sitting at 48% and Sam Brown is sitting at 38%. I'm sorry, 40% and 38%.
Yeah, the last numbers I saw, it was almost a dead even race with Sam Brown and Rosen. I think Sam's going to win the primary. I think the ads that Gunther is running against Sam Brown are horrible. I don't think they're appealing in any way. I think that here's a man who's wounded, lost so much of his physical being to fire protecting this country. And they run ads that try to make him look bad, you know, trying to capitalize on the way he has had to live. I think that'll be one of those races that's up for grabs at the end of the day, especially if Trump wins his state by 6, 8, 9 points, if he does. It's going to be tough for people to go in the voting booth and vote for the president and then completely disregard the ticket down, especially for the U.S. Senate, the congressional races.
All right, so I'm going to ask you a question, and you are probably going to tell me I'm 100% wrong, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Okay.
We both come from an advertising world, although you've been infinitely more successful than me at it. I feel that the political advertising is like children. You're no good, no, you're no good, no, you're no good, no, you're no good. And at the end of it, people are just frustrated, and they vote for whoever they vote for. But they're not voting for someone. They're voting because they're irritated by these commercials. Now, let me just finish here real quick. In selling something, advertising, marketing, you talk about the good things. You talk about the positive things. We don't see that in these political campaigns, except perhaps at the very end. Are we doing the advertising wrong?
Well, you know, when we ran the campaign for Ronald Reagan, Morning Again in America, we really didn't criticize anybody. When I ran the campaign advertising for George Bush, we had some tough commercials on policy. As a matter of fact, when I filmed and produced Dukakis in a Tank, I didn't want to run the spot. I knew we were going to win that election. And I called Washington, D.C. I was out filming a closing spot. And I caught Jim Baker on the phone, and I said, Jim, I just would like us to close on an upbeat, and this spot is tough. And Jim said, well, we're sitting around the table, Sig, and we're having our little G6 meeting, and we're taking a vote, and you lost. He said, 6-0. So they ran the spot, and it became an iconic commercial.
Yes.
You know, we didn't need it, though. But even that spot had a touch of elegance to it compared to what you're seeing now. It's like we regressed. Like we're doing old-fashioned car commercials, but they're politicians, you know.
So do you think that it would be possible for somebody to be successful? Because I mean, if I were running, which I never will, but if I were running and somebody attacked me, I would say, Charlie, is that the best you've got? Now, let's talk about my position on this.
You know, if you look at the commercials we're going to run for my wife, Lori, who's running for the state Senate, however got to this, I'll never know, but she's tireless and will be a terrific state senator, in my opinion, and she's passionate. But her commercials are all positive. She talks about what we need to do as a state. She talks about education and health care. She talks about one of her goals is to let us be the first state in America to announce and build the first mental health facility, modern mental health facility of its kind in Nevada. Who can argue with that? I mean, you can't. You can't really measure that kind of messaging compared to what you're seeing sometimes other people are running. Now, I know it's going to get nasty. I can't imagine what they can say about her that'll get nasty, but someone's going to say something. So it is what it is. I'm not sure it pans out. I think the proof will be in the pudding when you see how well Gunter does against Sam Brown after just these horrible ads.
All right, let's take another break. We'll be right back after this timeout.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
Turn your clunker into a caddy during the Cadillac and Cash giveaways at Tamarack Casino. Weekly cash drawings including $5,000 cash and one top prize of $10,000. Win the grand prize of a Cadillac CT4 or $40,000 in cash. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
Calamity. It lurks around every corner.
Or not. That's why UMC Quick Care is around every corner with locations around the valley.
UMC Quick Care. For all your small calamities.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue with Sig Rogich. He's the president of Rogich Communications. So I want to talk about your school for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
So the Sig Rogich Middle School, the Vocabulary Bowl. Please explain to folks the incredible things that this
It's really amazing. You know, we entered a contest. We had a team of 102 kids, I think. Most of the other teams were 500 and 600 kids. It was nationwide and including Canada, 380,000 students, 2,100 schools, and we won first prize. Our students had a vocabulary base of 29,084 words. Who could not be proud of that?
Wow.
So that was last year. Then this year we entered again, and now there's probably more than 400,000 students, close to 2,500 schools, and we won again. And this time it's 35,000 vocabulary words. So it tells you that a good principal and good dedicated teachers can do a great job, and we need to have more of that. There's no reason why we can't improve our school district here. We're 50th, 49th or 50th. I mean, who's arguing?
But is it a question of money? That's the big question, because well over $2 billion additional has been put in.
I think it's partially a matter of not having money along the way. And all of a sudden you throw $2 billion in it, and that doesn't change what's happened all those years getting up to that point. And I mean, for example, you know, teachers here, they don't get maternity leave. Whoever heard of such a thing? They have to use their sick leave or vacation time, and they're expected to come back to work in 2 weeks. I mean, who in what society is that fair? So I think we have to really give more definition to the superintendent of schools, not just pick somebody at random, but they really have to have a basic, it should be credentials in place, and I think we should do that legislatively. I know my wife feels the same way. We've made mistakes down here, and now we're feeling it. You know, these kids are, we got 30% of them read and 30% of them can add and subtract. That's terrible. At Rogish Middle School, just to back to it a minute, when the 7th, 8th, and 9th graders are in school, we test the 7th graders to see if they can qualify for algebra. The school district doesn't like us doing that, but we do. And as a result, we pass 100% of our kids in algebra and 92% in advanced algebra. It just, you know, you have to use common sense in teaching, and teachers have to be given more latitude. Principals have to especially be given more latitude, and we need a superintendent here that really understands the community, talks to us, and doesn't come from a far-off place and thinks that everything is going to be hunky-dory, because it's not.
And one of the problems is that superintendents are seen as people who have a 2 or 3 year span before they move on to the next school. And so, I mean, right there is a problem.
You know, I've noticed that the superintendents who left our school district haven't gone to another school district. They haven't been hired, to my knowledge.
Not the case with Washoe County, but that's another whole story. We're going to take a break here. We're going to end this show, and then we'll start a second show with a whole bunch of other topics. So please stick around.
Fair enough.
And we'll be right back.
Okay.
Imagine a magical garden that feeds Carson City's hungry and homeless, teaches our high school students agriculture, creates hanging floral displays to beautify downtown, and yet charges nothing. It's not magic. It's the Greenhouse Project. It's real, it's growing, and it needs your help. Go online to carsoncitygreenhouse.org so together we can grow it forward.
Southwest Specialties has been making the homes and businesses of Nevada beautiful for more than 20 years. Their experienced designers and craftsmen create the walkways, backyards, water features, and a variety of outdoor cooking areas that add curb appeal and value to your investment. Call today or visit them at their website and see how they can make your outdoor spaces special. Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
Modern boutique Ahern Hotel and Event Center sits at the heart of the Las Vegas Strip. Two floors of meeting and event space are ideal for groups and conventions. Stay in one of 200 luxurious rooms and suites. Brand your event throughout the property. Flexible event spaces make for easy planning and personalization. Take over the entire hotel with a full buyout option.
Thanks for watching Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from the Ahern Hotel in Las Vegas. As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. You can also download podcasts of the show wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching. We'll see you.